There is a call from God for a man to see within himself the burden that he carries from the weight of his pride, and the thoughts and the actions that arise from it. This is a man's sinful nature. What frees a man from his pride? What's his humility before a mighty God? It's by submitting himself to God and acknowledging to him that God's ways are higher than man's ways. It is to the detriment of a man, his own destruction, that he will hang on until death to what is contrary to God, because he has come to believe that he knows more than God. From Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Satan is now the ruler of this age. He is among God's other fallen angels that he has empowered, and they are the deceivers, the destroyers, and will, until the final day, in the final battle, draw man unto themselves, not for power or glory, but for destruction, for it brings him pleasure to cause suffering and death. From Corinthians 2, though, we learn about things of God. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord does not set us free and then push us out of the nest as a mother bird does to teach her young to fly. No, within us is the Spirit of the Lord, his Holy Spirit, who teaches us all things if we will but submit by separating ourselves from our pride and then listen and learn to what the Spirit teaches. From Romans 8, 5-8, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And so in Galatians 5, we learn more about that sinful nature. And so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. There is a noticeable change in the man who has come to Christ, in his ways, his attitude, his words, his very thoughts. In these days, there is great division, even in the church, as to what is right and what is just, and there are now different gospels being taught, different lords being served, different gods being worshipped. You cannot agree to gender change or sexual fluidity. Did God not create that person? Nor to the idea that it is okay to cut up a child at any time, whether in the womb or outside of it. You cannot agree that it is fine by God to be in a same-sex relationship or raising children in that environment and believe that God approves. It is not okay to cause division by teaching people to hate one another because of the color of their skin or to take from one man's family to feed the family of the man who will not work to care for them or for himself. The Word of God addresses all of these things, and it is clear on what life should look like in relationship with Him and with each other. The Lord is clear on these things, and the Holy Spirit leaves no room for doubt. Be reminded that a day quickly approaches when all that has taken place upon the earth will be brought before the throne of God, and an account will be given. Christian, I appeal to you today. If you believe any of these things that are tied to the sinful nature, fall upon your knees and ask God to help you to see them through His eyes, because a warning comes to all of us in the following, and it's from 2 Peter 3. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. And just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. The rapture, the taking up of those who are the Lord's, will come like a thief in the night. Will you be found ready to leave, or will you be left behind because you in your heart did not believe that what was given to you was true? We cannot make the Word of God to read what we want in order to satisfy our sinful nature. And the God of the Bible will not leave you where you are if you call upon His name and accept His gift of salvation. We are told every day to pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. And we struggle because we listen to our sinful nature as it tells us we are too weak to carry, that we don't have to believe this, but this is how we should believe that. If you're listening to that voice telling you that, my friend, means that you're under the influence of the devil. Come out of the world. Come and live a life that is freedom in Christ Jesus. And speak to those who have, like you, have been led astray. The promise of His word is that a day comes when everything will be laid bare, and it is better today to learn of the lie and repent than to stand before Him and learn of it on Judgment Day. Heavenly Father, for those who have bought into the lies of the world in these days, lies as old as time itself, I ask, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear, not only as you speak truth to them, but to hear the cries of those being mortally wounded by the actions of a few. Our leaders and lawmakers are under the influence of the evil one. There is no other way that what is being done today can be explained. And I cry out to you, Lord, for the souls that fill the pews each week and who support these actions. Lord, they've been deceived and they don't know you. They themselves are yet lost in this world, for if they knew you, they would know that you came to give life to them, and that it is only by your hand that a person can change anything about themselves. It is not until a person sees you, Lord, as Lord, do they understand that they are not the creator of their world, but that they are a part of the world that you created. Lord, help them to see. Help them, Lord. Help them. In Jesus' name, amen.